All right. All right. I'm going to speak on something today that is very dear to my heart because it was an area that, that's good for now. It was an area where I struggled for a very long time, and God broke through in such a powerful way, and now it's just blessings have been pouring through. And this area I'm going to talk about is about giving, and the title for my message today is called Greater Giving. And I feel like this is an area that we really need to talk about because everybody gets really tensed up when you talk about money in the church, right? You bring up finances and everybody's like, you know, plugs in their ears. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't want to understand it. Everybody has this hard time understanding finances and how God calls us to steward it. And today I want to bring us into the scriptures and kind of take a look at what does God say about the money that we have in our lives. Like, how do we manage it? Like, what does God call us to do with it? So we're going to start with Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. And it says, honor the Lord with all your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So that first line, it says, honor the Lord with all your possessions. When he talks about possessions, he's not actually talking about money. He's talking about the things you already have, right? And he says, honor God with them and what he's already given you, whether it's something objectified or something that's, who knows what it is, whatever you have in your possession, whatever you oversee, your home, your cars, everything like that, honor God with them. How you use them and how you and what you do with them should bring honor to the Lord. But then the second line says, and with the first fruit of all your increase. So that's talking about everything that is about to come or is coming into your authority, right? And that, and today we're going to look at finances and how that pertains to this area. And it says, if you honor the Lord with these things that are being given to you, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So this is a promise of God. He says, if you do this, this is the result. This is what's going to happen. You know, and the funny thing is, it's easy to read this, right? But it's a whole other thing to live it out. We just have such a struggle when it comes to finances to actually live out what God is right here in plain text promising he's going to do. You know, and we hold so tight to that money. And the thing is, I don't care how much money you have if your heart is bankrupt, right? Your heart, this is a heart issue. You know, we always think money is a money issue. It's never a money issue. It's all about the heart. And God, he's trying to do something through the young people, through the old people, through everyone, that he wants to grab something in your heart. And there's these two things that I feel that pertain to me personally that I have struggled with that we're going to talk about today that had captured my heart. And the things that kept me from giving what God called me to give and to steward my finances properly and the way he called us to steward it. Those two things are treasure and trust. So the first one, treasure. We're going to go to Matthew 6, 21, and we're going to see what do I mean by treasure. Matthew 6, 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So God is saying, God is bringing out to our attention, he's like, wherever you're putting your treasure, and right now we're talking about finances, wherever you're putting your finances, that's where your heart's going to be, right? So my question to you today is, where is your treasure? Where are your finances going to? You know, and I'm not gonna stand up here and bash that, like, you know, you can't buy this and you can't buy that. Like, we have the freedom to enjoy the things around us and to purchase things and things like clothes and all that. And there's greatness in all that. And it's awesome that God gives us the opportunity to have that. But a lot of times we get caught up in that, and then we start putting everything into it. Our heart begins to follow where we put our finances, right? So a lot of times, all of a sudden, we no longer give to God. We start to funnel everything into the things that we want for our own pleasure. And all of a sudden, our heart follows that. And now there's no more room in our heart to give to God and then to give to others around us that are in need. So that's the first thing that was brought to my attention as God was working in my heart. It was, check your treasure. Where is your treasure? You know, where are you putting your treasure into? And for me, it changed season to season. A lot of times, it changed emotion to emotion. Where my finances went into depended on where I was in life, you know. A lot of times it was, for a very short season, it was clothes. Now it never is, you know. I'm fine with whatever I wear. And then it became cars, you know. And then it became something else, you know. And all my money began to, all my treasure began getting stuck in one place. And then as soon as I felt God tugging at my heart and calling me to give, I'm like, well, I have to pay this off. You know, you always find that excuse. Why? Because my heart was no longer aligned with what God was calling me to do. It was aligned with what I was putting my money into, you know. And the funny thing is, our mindsets, when they work in that capacity, they think that our treasure truly is that object, right? And then we become a slave to that object. And all of a sudden, if something happens to that thing, if I go crash that car and I don't have the right insurance, that thing's gone. You know, and the thing is, it wrecks me. Why? Because my heart was there. You know, and that's what God is trying to help us walk in freedom from, is that don't allow all your treasures to be put into one place and your heart to follow behind it. The second thing is trust. And this, for me, was the biggest thing. It was about trust. And I used to always think in my mind, God, can I trust you to meet my needs? You know, so when we get that paycheck, you know, we have those finances, and we begin to pay our bills or do whatever, and all of a sudden we realize, you know, we start getting tight on money or whatever it is, or we haven't stewarded it well. All of a sudden we have a trust issue, right? All of a sudden our heart hasn't been reminded by the word or hasn't been aligned with God's heart, and we haven't allowed God to pour his blessings out. Why? Because we've completely closed off our reservoir from what God's called us to do with our finances. And all of a sudden, we don't trust God, you know? Even though God, there's so many things in Scripture that remind us of if we honor the Lord, like we just read in Proverbs, if we honor God with our finances, our first fruit, the first 10% that comes in, you know, God's going to bless the rest of the 90%. So we're going to read out of Matthew 6, 30 through 34. It says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into a fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith." And it's just that first line right there is just talking about a person's heart right there. It's like someone had so little faith, you know, and he's worrying. He's caught up in that the world of worry, you know. And it always has the foundation of that is always finances. Our whole world runs on finances. There's nothing you can or can't do. It always has some kind of money behind it, right? So this person is worried about his next day or what's coming up, and he has so little faith. Why? Because his faith is in the money, and money goes quick, you know, and the faith goes right with it. So following after that, verse 31, it says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." God promises that if you seek God, if you seek his kingdom principles, his heart, everything you will ever need, God is going to meet that need. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of every animal. He meets their needs. How much more does he love you, you know, and promises to take care of you? So we just covered, it's all about trust. Is your heart ready to trust God and ready to trust his word that he's going to meet your need? Now, one thing that happens when we don't give is we rob God. And we're going to read a passage here. Is God has called us to give, but when we don't, we steal from God. And I don't want you to misunderstand that God needs your money. God doesn't need your money. You know, but this is a heart, again, like we said, this is a heart issue, this is a kingdom principle issue. So we're going to read here, how are we robbing God, and how does this also in return rob us? And as we do this, we bring a curse over ourselves when we don't give what God's called us to give. So we're going to read out of Malachi 3:6. It says, "I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be no room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines from the fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, and yours will be the delight of the land. What's interesting in this verse is that throughout the Bible it says don't test God, except in this one area. God allows us as his children to test him in finances. He understands the difficulty of how it is to work with finances, to have that as something we carry in our life and manage in our life. And it's something that so easily ensnares our heart. But God gives this open door. He says, test me in this. And he promises that if you give, if you fill my house like I've asked you to fill, I am going to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing you won't be able to store it. That's the promise. That's our foundation when it comes to giving. And Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run over, will be poured out in your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And we're going to transition over to a little skit. I saw this a long time ago somewhere, and I'm going to need people to help me after clean it up. But I really want you guys to catch something here about what we just read, because I'm a visual person, and when you see some visual things. All right, so we hear, I don't know if you're able to see this. Let me get this out of the way. This container here says non-giver. So this is someone who doesn't give to God, right? And this one says giver. So we're going to start with this one, you know, and this is how our life goes. This is our finances in here, right? And, you know, we have our bills, so we'll start with our coffee. That's expensive. And then we have, you know, our cars. And then we have school. What else do young people have problems with? Well, what else takes our money when we're young? Shopping, clothes. Not a lot of us have bills yet, but let's just assume we all grew up right now and we have bills. And then we have a house to pay for. Then we have insurance. Everyone's going to get married eventually. There goes all that. So, and you're stuck with this cup, and you realize God called to give the first fruit, right? And it's crazy how life, it just takes everything, right? But this person, the non-giver, he didn't give anything yet. And when he's done paying all his bills, he looks, and there's nothing left for God, right? But the wise man, the man who follows the heart of God, whose heart is aligned with the Father, and who trusts in his word, right? And his treasure is in the right place. He gives the first 10% to God, right? And then here comes the coffee again, you know? And then here comes your school, your cars, your mortgage eventually, your insurances, your wedding. And then God looks at both people. And we just read about how the person that didn't give, they called a curse on themselves, right? And let me pull up a verse that I just thought of while we were worshiping. And there's this one verse that says, we're going to imagine this is God here. And it's another promise in his word. It says, he looks at the two people, and one person's been faithful, right? And we just talked about how if you're faithful with the giving, you know, God's going to open the floodgates of heaven. And this verse, when God looks at the two, he looks at the person that's given. He said, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in the master's happiness. There was supposed to be more. It was supposed to overflow. But the concept is, like, God sees the faithfulness of that one person. A kingdom principle is to be aligned with God's heart, to become a funnel. A funnel where God can move money through you, meet your needs, and move money through you to bless other people. And God promises that he's going to pour out the heaven over you. You're going to have so much, you're just going to be like this. Like, this is how God's going to work in your life. The sad part is that most of us are still only here. You know, and there's some crazy statistics about, like, how people give to the church, and, like, how there's... if you were to add up the 10% of everybody's income everywhere, it's really no one's given much at all. And God is after our hearts, right? And we're here to surrender our hearts before Him. And we've made Him Lord of so many areas of our life, but there's a lot of times money, just for some reason, we haven't made Him Lord of our life in that. And God calls us to be a certain kind of giver. He calls us to be a cheerful giver. In 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, it says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver." Like I was just saying, we're the light of the world. And God's calling us to give, not only just to give because He asked us to, but to give with a cheerful heart. We're the ambassadors of Jesus Christ here on earth. And how we give and how we meet people's needs around us, that's going to radically change people's lives. You know, meeting people's physical needs, it can bring the Spirit of God through that as well. And God calls us to be cheerful givers. And there's two practical points I want to share about how to give. Because we are trying to create a culture of generosity here, and there's two things that have to practically change in our lives in order to give effectively. And I know Oleg has been really doing this in his life, and this is one thing I had to do in my life, watching Oleg. And it's called budgeting. It's super practical. You know, most of us here have like a paycheck coming in, and you already know roughly how much it's going to be. When you sit down and practically make a budget, you say, when the paycheck comes in, 10% just leaves. You don't even think about it, you know? And you let that treasure go to God, and God's going to bless that other 90% so much, you guys won't even know what to do with it. And He's going to bring more and more into your storehouse. But now, budget it out, sit down, take the finances that are before you, split to 10%. And another thing, this is a personal thing. This is what God, see how God is asking you to address this, but anything over 10% is considered giving. I know Oleg, he does something similar where he budgets out a certain amount that he just gives, right? This is on top of tithing. And that other 10% is even more blessed, and or whatever percent it is. And you're able to, out of that position, out of that budget, be able to bless people without feeling like you're going to be shorted, because you've already established something in your mind about how your finances are going to work and where they're going to go. You know, and this is a practical way to do this, is to train yourself, to establish a new mindset where whatever comes in, you've already stood on the Word of God, already given what He's called you to give, you know, and then beyond that, because He's already given you so much, you're able to bless other people. And that's what we're called to do as we set a kingdom culture. And there's this one verse that changed me when it came to giving. Everyone knows this verse, but it's powerful because it allows us to realize why we should give. And it's from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." Through this verse, God already gave us a template of how we give, right? So His treasure was us. We were His treasure. And then He gave, so He sacrificed His only Son. That was the sacrifice. And His Son was the best He had, the first fruit. This is our template for how we give. We give because He first gave us, right? And what we're trying to get is where your treasure is, that is where your heart's going to be. We were God's treasure. That's where His heart was. And that's why He gave what He gave for us. You know, and that's why, like, we get so caught up with numbers and finances and money, but your soul is redeemed, you know? And now you're a son and daughter of the Most High, the Creator of the universe. And He's calling us to fully give our heart to Him. And in doing that, especially when it comes to finances, we're now able to share His heart through us, through finances, through the things we have, through our possessions. And that's what I wanted to share today. So let's stand. And we're going to close in prayer, but we're just going to pray that God opens our minds first, and then our hearts, because he's a God who wants to change the heart. And now we've received understanding in our mind, but now God wants to invade our hearts and change something there and begin to talk to us and remind us of everything you have is because of me. And I've asked you to give this. Do you trust me enough to follow my commandments? So that's what we're going to pray about today. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, God. For how you sent your son, God. We're just so in awe how you saw us as your treasure, Father. And that's where your heart was, God. And we love you so much for that, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in this place, God. You sent your son to redeem us, God, because you want to use us as the light in this world. And part of being used, Father, you want to use our finances. But in order to do that, God, you want us to surrender our hearts, surrender our finances to you, Father. You've called us to give to your storehouse, God, but to also to give to those around us. Father, I pray that you just teach us this principle, that we take it to heart, and that we remember that we give because you first gave. And we thank you for that, God. And we worship you, we honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for your time. See you downstairs.